And it says, and after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees muttered against the disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering, said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, I know I've done this before, and I forgive me for how often I do it. I know what I'm supposed to do with this passage of Scripture. I'm supposed to talk about how ain't none of us perfect. I'm supposed to talk about how when you get this idea of high religiosity that you're supposed to, like, you know, look down on others. Well, I'm supposed to preach against that stuff. However, I keep getting distracted. You know what I keep getting distracted by every time I read this passage of Scripture? What it must have been like for Levi. This is Matthew, by the way. For those of you whose names show up in the Bible, you know what this is like. Right, when I was a kid and we'd always come across, it's like, ooh, this is my book, right? I was named after this disciple. That's so great. You know, I can't get past Matthew's point of view on this. I mean, you think about this. There he was. He was sitting there. He was doing his job, right? And he's there at the receipt of customs. He's doing the tax thing, right? He's kind of a medieval IRS agent there doing the things. Taking the money, he's got people there working for him, scribes taking notes, and everybody was coming there. It was Tuesday, probably, you know. For him, it was just another day. Now, I don't mean that literally Tuesday. Do not write that in your Bible. Pastor Roland said it's Tuesday. I'm saying it's a regular day. It's a regular day. And there he is, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes by, calls him away from that. Said, leave that behind, you come with me. And Matthew, Levi here, his heart and his mind is so excited and so enraptured by the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes home, fires up the barbecue. He has a whole feast. He invites, hey, come on, we're having a feast. Jesus is coming to dinner. And he's there with the disciples, and what a wonderful thing. And there's this element, this group of guys looking over. Now, here's my thing. I think these guys were sitting close together. When it talks about the scribes, you know who they are. You've got the people doing the business, and you got the people who are educated enough to write. And that's why the scribes were always such a big burden, is they knew just enough to be a pain in the neck. You ever meet somebody who's half educated and they think they've got full knowledge? Very irritating. Well, we learned our letters. We learned some religion. We'll sit by the Pharisees. The Pharisees there, you know their education. They were fully educated in false religion, right? In the full perversion of the Judaistic covenants. They were there. I think these guys were kind of sitting next to each other, ribbing these disciples. Why are you guys sitting? Why are you sitting with these guys? Why are you sitting with these sinners? Why are you sitting with these publicans? Now, I hate to try to conjecture, but every now and then my imagination runs wild. I like to think, and I can't prove it, but I like to think that these guys were probably more upset about who Jesus wasn't sitting with than who he was sitting with. We're the elite. We're the educated. Over here are the Pharisees. They're highly religious. There's us. We are well educated in everything that we need to be educated in. Why is he sitting with these ne'er-do-wells and these people that lack social grace? I don't know. They don't have the social standing that we have. Why them? And the answer is very simple. They were so convinced that they were right. Jesus sat where he sat. You know, he could have sat at any part of that table. If there was five tables, he could have sat at any table and still been sitting with sinners. You understand that? From his point of view, whether I'm sitting with the publicans and the Pharisees, or I'm sitting with the publicans or the Pharisees, I'm still sitting next to the same caliber sinner. It didn't matter to him. Now, his point to them was what? Well, the well don't need a physician. I'm here to those that are sick. Now, of course, we know that that's very tongue-in-cheek. Jesus Christ himself taught on many occasions that we're all sin-sick. We're all sinners. Not a one of us are well. If that was possible, he never would have had to have come. And he taught about that, so we understand that this was a... This was kind of a barbed statement a little bit. One of those things that he would feed to these people that were high and mighty to take them down a peg. Right? Because they should have known that they were sinners. They should have known that they weren't all that good. So even the idea of, well, you guys are perfect, I'm here for the imperfect, it would have got up their nose a little bit. But here's these guys. Man, look at who he's sitting next to. You see that guy over there? See that guy over there? He's got food all over his shirt already. Now, that guy over there, I know his wife left him 3 weeks ago. Now, you see these publicans over here? These guys, they're so poor, it's amazing they can afford the shoes they're standing in. I don't understand. Why is he with them? But all I keep getting distracted by is I'm sure glad the Lord Jesus Christ sat at my table. I'm sure glad. From Matthew's point of view, yes. You know what? It's great. It's wonderful. But the guys that didn't see that were the guys that didn't accept Christ at all. I don't even think they believed he was who they said he was. I can even, in my head, some Christ, look at who he's sitting next to. Now again, I understand that if at that end of the particular table, or if at that particular table, if they had the cards out and they had the booze out and they were telling filthy jokes, Jesus wouldn't have sat there. But what were they doing? They were sitting there having a meal with Christ, is what they were doing. I'll tell you what, I've never had a problem with a sinner coming into the church. I don't care what they look like. We had this guy at Flat Rock one time. He'd come in, he'd hang around for a while during the winter months. He'd come in, just sit in the back. And every now and then he'd go down to the bathroom, wash up, come up, just sit there. You know, I tell you what, I have no idea what came about from that. But so many of us prayed so hard for the Lord would save his soul. He got some help from us. You know what I'm talking about? You know how you do. Every now and then you just kind of reach in, you shake a hand, something leaves your hand. You know how it goes. But I'd rather that than to have no audience at all with people like that. Well, do you understand? Do you know where they've been? You know, look at them. Look at the way they're dressed. Look at how much is on their face. Look at this. Look at that. I don't care. I'd rather you come. As long as you're not being rowdy. Down in Cincinnati, we had an Arabic guy come in one time, started smoking a cigarette right in the middle of a Sunday school class, talking about Allah, interrupted the whole class. I hate when people interrupt. Had to carry him out. Oh, but a man that'll sit down, hear the word of God, I love that. A woman who'll come in, hear the word of God, I love that. I do. You ever invite someone to church? Oh, no, we're Catholic. It's okay, we don't check cards at the front door. Come on in. Well, you know, I don't know if I believe in God or not. You don't have to. Door swings open. Just come on in. Come on in. I don't care. Why? I mean, look at these people. That, no doubt, I had no idea. All they heard was food. Right? Hey, Levi's throwing a party. We're going to the party. Do I want to stay at home and bake bread, or do I want to go to the party? They went. And they sat there, and they were sitting with Jesus. And you know what Jesus was doing? Because I know him. He was teaching. He never failed to teach. He sat there and he was talking to them and conversing with them. And I tell you what, for all the Pharisees and the scribes who want to put these guys down, I ain't ever had a meal with Jesus Christ in the flesh. Have you? That's a pretty holy thing. I go to church all the time. I ain't ever had him out for lunch. That'd be a blessing. See, what they're missing here, what they missed about Jesus entirely was mercy. These Pharisees believed that you could deserve forgiveness. You could deserve these things. But as we've been looking at on Sunday nights, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve to have him in my house. I don't deserve him to have him in my table. I certainly don't deserve to have him in my heart. No part of me should be at the table. But by God's grace, there he is. Let's take a look at that first table that he met him at. You know, when we look at Levi here, verse 27, And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. You know, so many of us, when the Lord saved us, we were just having a day. Good day, bad day, this day, that day, didn't matter. Maybe it was grocery day, maybe it was laundry day, maybe it was take the dog out day, who knows? But whatever day you were having, the Lord interrupted it. And for Levi, I mean, he's just sitting there working. Lord saves him. I do believe this is probably where he was saved. Is Lord saves him right there. Come follow me. Come on. Oh, I want you to take a second. For those of you that are saved, I want you to look back on that day. When you think about Levi here in this story, in this account, that feeling you had, that experience you had, Levi had that at a table. And he had the money in his pocket. Let's ignore the fact that he was an IRS agent with a lot of money, but all the same. Come on! Everybody come back. He was excited. See, he didn't want to just keep Jesus to himself. He wanted everyone to experience this. Lord, please come into my home. You changed my life. I mean, you got to think for Levi. I mean, I've referred to him twice so far as an IRS agent. I've never met one, but I'm pretty sure it would be a tense couple minutes while we got to know each other. Right? You got to think about it. Let's play advocate here for an IRS agent. Hi, what do you do? I'm an IRS agent. Oh, hey. How are you? Good. My name's Kyle. What's yours? Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Have a good day. And talk to them. I'm sure they get that all the time. I'm sure that they are just as socially accepted as those scam callers you get all the time. Right? People weren't excited to see the tax guy. Nobody's happy about this. But you know what I love about the Lord? He had the ability to look at Levi, not as a competitor. Because isn't that how we look at each other sometimes? In competition. Hey, Matt, this is your new coworker. They're going to be working in the same field, right? So you're going to teach them how to take your business. Oh, okay. Good. All right. You two have fun. We size each other up. I teach you just enough to be a hair less than me, right? I even said that. I go, I'll teach you some tricks, but I'm not going to teach you them all. I go, you got to develop your own, right? We compete. Two guys are sitting there. They'll size each other up. Can I fight you? Could you fight me? Who'd win? Right? Two guys are sitting there at a very high-end bar. They're looking at each other's suits. They're looking at how they're sitting in their wallets going, all right, who's got more money? We're always doing that. Women, you're no exception. Look at her hair. Look at her eyes. Look at her teeth. Look at her clothes. Blah, 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 blah. We do this to each other in almost every facet of our lives. Size each other up to see who is the better one. That is how a competitor looks at each other. That is how sinners look at each other. You know how Jesus Christ looked at Levi? As a physician to his patient. As a physician to his patient. And you know what? We're all patients. We're all sin sick. I'm glad that when the Lord Jesus Christ looked at me, he didn't see the shattered relationship between me and God. He didn't sit there and try to pick and choose how wrong I was, how bad I was, what I'm justified in doing. No, he goes, this is a sinner. And I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him. He saw me with the eyes of a physician. You know, I've had a lot of experience in the last few days at the hospital. And you know what I don't see a lot of? I don't see a lot of patients going from room to room going, double valve replacement. I only had one, sucker. I don't see a lot of that. At no time did I feel the urge as I was walking past rooms to go in there and go, oh, are you sick? I'm not. Face and walk away. We don't do that. Jesus had compassion on Levi the same way he has compassion on you and me. You understand what I'm saying? There's a love that Christ shows to us. And yes, it should be emulated in how we see each other and how we treat each other. But think for a moment. I mean, I want to call into attention. Levi was somebody that, all right, he's a tax guy. Who cares, right? Bothers me a little bit, but I guess I can get along with him as long as he returns my rake when he borrows it, right? What about the lepers? Think of all the lepers Jesus touched. What was the number one rule for lepers? Don't touch lepers. You don't touch them. And there was Jesus going around touching 10 of them over here and one of them over there. And it's just what he did. Somebody comes up and they say, hey, Lord, I've got this issue of blood. Let me touch your clothing. Many of us would sit there and go, yeah, no, thank you. No, I don't know what you've got. All right. I don't know what I'm susceptible to. You know what? I'm health comparable. You stay over there. Not Jesus. Because he saw us as the great physician should see us. Curable. Aren't you glad that there was a time in your life when the Lord Jesus Christ looked at you and saw his patient? He saw your sickness. He saw your feeble attempts at trying to fix it. Right? I had a bad toothache one time, and it was bad. And I was taking Tylenol. Finally, I went to the dentist, and the dentist goes, well, what were you taking? I go, Tylenol. I go, but it didn't do a thing. He goes, yeah, it doesn't work. I can't remember what he said, Motrin, ibuprofen. I probably should have wrote it down, but I didn't. He goes, this is what you need to take. And then come in and see me. Okay. Took the wrong medication. You know what a lot of people do to take the wrong medication as sinners are? Money. Popularity. Right? I want people to see me as a good guy. I want you to know I'm a good guy. Right? If we're out to dinner, I'm going to tip the waitress really big because I want you to know I'm a good guy. When I sit there and I'm talking about people, I want to talk in a very competitive, yet at the same time, egocentric trainer kind of a way. You know these kind of people, right? The kind of people that post way too much about being lions and tigers and bears on their Facebook page. Right? It's always about being tough, being good, being bold. That's how we hide it. Many people, when they sedate themselves with drugs, alcohol, television, other screens, they do everything they can to not have to deal with the fact that their sin is costing them everything. Many of them are not even aware that that's what the sickness they have. They just have the void and they're chucking stuff into the void, trying to fill it up, and it never fills up. And they said, well, it makes me feel a little bit better, so I'm going to keep doing it. You're trying to fill a hole that doesn't have a bottom. He sees our sickness. He sees all the things that we're trying to do to get past it. All the work we're doing, all the pacifying we're doing, all the sedating that we're doing. And at one particular point, if you're saved, he called you. He called you. I get in my head, when I hear his phrasing here, I get in my head this image of sitting in a doctor's room. Not knowing what's wrong with me. Not even knowing what I'm waiting to be diagnosed with. Matthew Rowland. Yep. Doctor, we'll see you now. The Lord saves your soul. And all of a sudden, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. You ever have something? Something's made you sick. But one of the symptoms you've had for so long, you didn't even know that could possibly be it. Well, I didn't know I was a sinner. Yeah. Because you're a sinner, you're going to die. It's a terminal illness. Oh. But I tell you what, here's the medicine. I died on the cross for your sins. To pay the cost. Oh, wow, I hope my insurance covers that. It doesn't. Well, do you have a payment plan? Can I work it off? No. Why? Oh, no, this is a free gift. It's a free gift. And yet I think there's all these people out there struggling with their sin, struggling with being lost. They die, they think they're okay, and they wake up in hell. And you think about how awful the human condition is and everything that we face. Aren't you glad there's a cure? Aren't you glad there's a cure? He called Levi. And not only did he call Levi, I mean, here's my thing. You know, it's hard for me to imagine someone like God wanting to spend time with me. I have a hard enough time thinking you people would want to spend time with me. That sounds like fake humility, but really think about it. The God of all glory And you're going to come over and feed him what? You know? What are you going to talk about with him? Right? That's my thing. I hate small talk. I struggle with it. Right? I'll be honest. That's where that half millennial comes in. I'll text you first. Because hey, how are you? Good. How are you doing? Good. How about that weather? Oh, yeah, man, that's great. I have a hard time getting through all that because I don't even know what to bring up half the time. I'll be honest with you. I've never wanted to talk about the weather. Unless it was like a really big storm. Unless it's raining cats and dogs out, I really don't want to talk about it. Unless it's coming inside the house, I don't really want to talk about the weather, but here we are. For the God of all glory to look at me and say, I want to live in his heart. There are days I don't even want to live in my own heart. There are days I'm sick of me. And he lives here. You know, I think about my wife and my kids. They got to put up with me in the house. The Lord Jesus Christ, he puts up with me inside. Every thought, every motive. And he says, I'll come. I'll stay in your heart. I'll keep helping you. I'll keep forgiving you. I'll cause you to grow. Right? When you lead in these things, when you teach Bible at the house, when you go about serving me, I'll be there with you. The amount of love that takes, the amount of patience that takes, right? Some of us, we barely survive car trips with each other, right? We get itchy at each other just going down the road sometimes, right? Wives, you ever do this to your husband? And he hits the brake and it just turns out that you can't remember if you turned your curling iron off or not. Don't do that. What? Oh, never mind. I thought it was a dog. What was a dog? Never mind. Don't do that stuff to us. Just let us hit the dog. No, I just, seriously. You know, the patience, the love, the forbearance, the faithfulness that God shows to you on a regular basis. That Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. I mean, think about this. You're obnoxious enough to another person, they'll leave your house. All right, well, good. Have a good day. Take care. You get tired and cranky, they'll realize, hey, it's time for me to go home. Holy Spirit goes to sleep inside of you, wakes up inside of you. When you sin, he's there. And I tell you what, when you sin, wouldn't it just make sense? The Holy Spirit goes, all right, this guy doesn't have the respect to know that I'm here when he's doing this. But he stays. I can't get past Jesus Christ in Levi's house. I don't even think, I mean, it doesn't say, but I don't even think Levi had enough time to clean anything up. Right? I know some preachers that do that. Hey, honey, can you hurry up and make a bigger lunch than normal? I invited two or three church members over to the house. I don't do that, by the way. Typically, if you're coming over, it was her idea. But I've heard of preachers doing that. But, could you imagine Jesus Christ coming over on a moment's notice? Now, here's the thing. If I've got to come over to your house unexpectedly, which I try not to do, by the way, for a reason, you know, wouldn't you want a few minutes, right? I hit that bathroom first, make sure everything's good, all right? I've got four kids. You gotta go there first, right? Let me pick this up. Let me put that up. Lord will take you as you are. He'll even help you clean that house. Now, this is your metaphorical in your spirit house. Now, there's a lot of common modern-day religion that oh, yeah, come as you are, stay that way. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. Come as you are, come and get clean. Come and be washed clean of your sin. Come and repent of it. Come and lay it aside. Come and be free from it. Come and be free. You don't need it. That's what the Lord's offering. He's coming into the house. I'm glad the King of all glory agreed to sit at my table. Agreed to sit at my table. Remember back, maybe you didn't have this problem in your, but in our high school, right, different groups sat with each other, right? Nobody ever assigned us to a table. We groaned if you assigned us a chair in class. But I tell you what, you gave us the lunchroom. We assigned our own seating. Right? You had the people that were good at sports. You had the beautiful people, which at our which was at our school, there wasn't a lot of overlap there for whatever reason. Right? You had the popular, beautiful people. You had the weird video game kids. Right? You had the smart kids. Right? You had the kids who got into drugs a little bit too soon. You know what I'm saying? You space it out. Right? And it was always kind of like, and it's even, they even put it in movies and television. When you get a new kid in the class, and they come in, and it's always kind of like the deciding factor of who that kid's going to be based on where they sit. And they always go sit alone. And you know, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ in that way. The only person who would be able to sit at his table would be nobody. We don't deserve to sit at his table. We don't deserve to have him sit at ours. But he comes over with everything that he is, sits down at our table, and redeems us. And continues to sanctify us and keeping us separate, making us better, making us stronger throughout the rest of our lives for as long as we continue to keep that walk with Him. That blows my mind. I wish there was some convicting portion to this sermon. It's not. I got nothing. I'm so enamored by the grace of God in this, that He would come into my life. And not just that, but come into my home. Now, I didn't grow up in a very spiritual home. My mom was saved later on. We're still waiting on Dad. We didn't have devotion sitting around a table. We didn't have a crunch time to get to church. We didn't have a lot of things like that. We didn't sit there and pray around the table. We didn't do those things. Do those things now. I tell you what, if my mom could do it all over again, we would. We would. I've got it in my house. I wake up in the morning, the kids started school. And I tell you what, there was two teachers last year that taught the kids Bible. I didn't think either one of them did a good job. I've been listening for the last 2 days or so to their new teachers. They must have went to the same school. I don't like it. I don't like the way they teach it. But you know what? It is good that my kids, the very first thing they hear in the morning is the Word of God. Man, that's nice. They have it. He's in our house. I love him being there. I don't know why he'd want to be there. I can't even describe why he would love me. Aren't you glad for the Lord Jesus Christ in your house? I mean, I know some of y'all, you live by yourself. He's the best roommate you'll ever have. The best roommate ever. Some of you, you're like me, you got a few people in the house, right? Some of you, you've got your empty nesters, the kids are done gone. But he's still there. He ought to still be there. Can I ask you a question? Is the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on that couch with you when you're watching TV? Is the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at your dinner table with you? Is he in the discussions you have with your spouse? Is he frequently referred to? Do you treat him like he's there? Do you talk to him? Do you read his word aloud? Do you encourage each other in him? Do you acknowledge his existence? Because he's in your house. If you're saved, he's in your life. Don't be rude to him. Don't be rude to him. See, Levi didn't just have all his friends over to talk about his new religious activity. He invited Jesus Christ and all the others. The disciples were there, publicans, Pharisees, others. But I tell you what, the main person, the guest of honor, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us will have people come over to stay in our houses. We'll give them the nice cushions. We'll give them the nice sheets on their bed. And we'll do it up all real nice. We'll plan meals and we'll do extra special things. You know, we'll take them out over to Frankenmuth. We'll do this. We'll do that. We put on the whole nine yards for them just to show them how great our neighborhood is. Does the Lord Jesus Christ, after all these years, still feel that same welcome in your house? I pray he does. I pray he does. I pray he's got a spot in your heart. I pray that he is often referred to, that you acknowledge his position in your heart, in your life, in your house. Because I tell you what, it is a blessing. It is a blessing. Even just to, you know, I think about this with our kids, you know, having them going through they're homeschooled, but it's a Christian education program that we've got them in. I tell you what, I would have loved that. I would have loved that. I did okay with the computer learning, right? Our last few years, I got to take some Eastern Michigan courses right there on the internet, got some credit for it. I never cashed in. I did get a scholarship I never used from Eastern, but I tell you what, if you've ever toured Eastern Michigan's campus, you'll understand why that was difficult for me to want to do. But a really great coffee shop at one time there, I'll give them that. But no, to have the Lord Jesus Christ as part of my education, that would have been amazing. I tried to work them in different school reports and things like that. And oftentimes my teacher would say something like, okay, well, that's nice, but you couldn't have come up with a more modern, more politically correct, more politically comfortable is what she said. A more politically comfortable topic of conversation. Oh, to have a place, not just at church, where the Lord Jesus Christ is celebrated and appreciated. That ought to be your home. That ought to be your home. Where that is a haven for Him, an oasis for Him, where people come in and they feel His presence, where you are aware of Him there because you've praised Him, because you've referred to Him in your prayers, and you've often welcomed the teaching of His Word and the preaching of it, that as we walk through your house, there is the singing of hymns or other gospel songs, that there are a more scriptural basis on things that are happening around, not just the decorations on your wall, but what is painted in your heart. Oh, that would be true for each and every one of us. That He would not find us poorly in our hospitality. That we would be welcoming. That we would make His presence known in everything we do. And not just this, but the Lord Jesus Christ would fellowship with me. That He would fellowship with me. I recently got back to trying to run, and I'll run for a while, and I'll get to a certain spot. I've got my spot I like to go to, and I'll climb up to this high thing, and I'll sit on there, and I'll pray. You know how? I bet if I called every single last one of you, I might get 5 or 6 meet me there on a certain morning. Right? If I called you up and said, hey, Brother Art, 8:30 in the morning, I need you to hike all the way out here. I need you to meet me in this weird spot. You say, well, brother, can't we just go over here? Brother, why don't you come over here? Hey, brother, can't, you know, I got this backyard. Why don't we just go? Why do we got to go? Lord Jesus Christ meets me there every day. I open up His Word and I read. My Heavenly Father meets me there in conversation. I pray to Him. I talk to Him. He'll meet me in the office. Doesn't matter what time of day. I don't have to give Him any notice whatsoever. He hears me. There'll be times when I'm not even near my Bible. Something will come to mind and I'll go, that's wonderful, Lord. There'll be times when I'm far from the Lord. I'm caught in the throes of some temptation and there's something in my mind and it's playing around and all of a sudden a verse will pop in. Thank you that you would take the time to stop me. Of all your children, you didn't neglect me. With all of them, you wouldn't neglect me. Oh, He cares so much for you. Do you take advantage of that fellowship? Do you use it? He wants to talk to you. Many of you, you've got kids. No doubt you probably got 1 or 2. Don't call you as often as you like. Don't be like that to your Heavenly Father. Don't do that to Him. I just talk to Him on Sunday. I don't understand why I've got to talk to Him every day. If you loved Him, you wouldn't be thinking that way. If you loved Him, it's not a matter of what I got to do. It's what I want to do. It's what I'm not going to choose anything other than to do. You know, I've never met anybody that sat there and said, you know what, I'm really bummed. I got to go eat tomorrow. Well, you got to go eat. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know what I'm talking about. What a major bummer. I've never met anybody like that. Typically, we all just do what? We just do it, right? Go in, you grab some lunch, whatever you do. No one's ever sat there and like, oh man, I'm really not looking forward to eating food tomorrow. Anybody here, you ever sat there about how you have to breathe? You ever been bummed about having to breathe? You don't. Why? Because it's part of life. It's part of life. And you love it. You love it. I tell you what, if I quit breathing, I'd be worried. I'd probably mess my whole life up. I'm not a doctor. I'd probably mess my whole life up if I quit breathing. No, I mean, I'm being silly, but follow me on this. He loves you. It's not about having a choice. You ought to want to talk to him. The fact that he wants to talk to you ought to make you want to talk to him. Because why on earth? Think of the most popular person, anything that you really like, you know, your sports star, politician, whatever. They call you on the phone. I don't care how far along in mowing your yard you are, you're going to stop. I don't care what you're pickling. I don't care what you're cleaning. I don't know where you're driving. But if your favorite popular television or whatever person called you, you'd stop. Right? Donald Trump call you on the phone. You pull over. God in heaven wants to talk to you. You should feel special. You should feel excited about that. We should want a fellowship with him. And remember, fellowship takes more part than just prayer. It's prayer, it's Bible reading, it's the communication that we have, it's meditation on prayer, right? Sitting there and churning the same verses over and over and over, right? We talked about like how the cows do, right? They swallow it once, it works their way through, cool, right? They got several stomachs, right? And it just keeps, and then you chew it back down. Let us be that way with Scripture. That's fellowshipping with the Lord. Right? We've got this gap between us, this distance between us right now, but that's as close as we can get. We better wear that road out. And we look back at these scribes and these Pharisees and look at their attitude. Why are you sitting with sinners? You know, the devil does that to you and me every now and then. God doesn't want anything to do with you. Look at you. Look at you. You think you're special? You're not. You've committed the same sin dozens and dozens of times. You think you're ever going to get any better? You think you're any different? You're not. You're crazy. But aren't you glad you're not just a sinner anymore? Because in their heart, those are just sinners. Those are just publicans. The devil talks to you like that. You're just a sinner. No, Lord says, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm changed. Now listen, I'm still a sinner, right? I've never lost that part, and I'm going to fight that part. I'm going to do battle with that part of me for the rest of my life. I'll be crucifying that flesh till the Lord takes me home, right? And that's what we all really ought to be looking forward to, man, when he takes this thing away. And we leave aside the corruptible, we put on the incorruptible. What a great day that is! But until then, you're a sinner, but a sinner saved by grace. Levi here, his whole lifestyle changed. His whole lifestyle changed. Now listen, it doesn't say, but if I maybe suggested that some of these marketplace tax dealers might be putting a little bit in their pocket. Would that be too far-fetched? I'd believe it. If Levi came out and said, I've been cheating all these people. It's how I got this great big house. It's how I got these three pigs I put on the table. Right? That wouldn't surprise me a jot. Wouldn't surprise me a bit if Levi had a lot of other sin that he was doing. Lord saves you. He changes your life. How come you don't do that anymore? I don't need to do that anymore. And once I stopped doing it, which I thought at one particular time was my whole identity, I thought it was who I was, I thought it was a big part of what made me me. When I quit doing it, I realized I was happier without it. Who other than God knew that I didn't need that sin? Who other than God knew that that sin was dragging me down? And I didn't even tell you the worst part. Because of that sin, I was going to a devil's hell. Because of that sin, I was going to hell. But the Lord freed me, forgave me. I don't need it anymore. That's not who I was. Who I am now is much different. And folks, you need to live that different every day of your life. I'm different. My life changed. Now, in his particular case, he got a whole new vocation to go with it. Some of us, that happens. Right? Some of us, we continue on at the same vocation, but we do it in a more God-honoring way. And that changes the whole thing. Right? You clocked out one day, Lord saved you that night, you clocked in a brand new creation, and all of a sudden you're doing things fair. You're doing things honest. You're doing things as unto the Lord. And guess who picks up on that? Your boss. Right? Think back to Joseph. Everything he did for the Lord. And every person who was ever over him noticed that about him. Lord blessed everything he did. Lord blessed everything he did. Aren't you glad that you're now in a position where the Lord will bless the things you do when you obey him? When you put him first in those things? You didn't have that coming. You didn't deserve that. That's a gift. God gave that to you. He changed your lifestyle. He changed what you were. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. It's like a kind of like a fairy tale there where you're sitting there and you're in the muck and you're in the grunge and you're building a life and you're just trying to aim for comfortable. And all of a sudden in comes this very important person and they got a briefcase and they pop it open and they say, oh yeah, you didn't know this, but your great uncle was a billionaire and he left all of his money to his closest heir and it's just you. Here you go. That'd be nice. I don't know how much $1 billion gets you anymore, but it's a lot less than it did a few years ago. When the day the Lord saved you, God became your father. Your father, there's verses for that. We can look that up. But he's your father. Bible verse says right there, joint heirs with Christ. We are God's children. God's children. Well, you're just to this, you're just to that. Always used to get me wrong when people would sit there and they'd pick on people for what kind of job they had. Well, you just do this, you just do that. You know what? If you're a child of God, you ain't just anything. You are a child of God. And I tell you what, I don't care if I'm back scrubbing the floors at McDonald's. I don't care if I'm sitting with my feet propped up in the Oval Office. It doesn't matter. I am a child of God. Compared to that, there is nothing like it. And that's not to feed my ego. That's to give me purpose. That's to tell me who I am. I tell you what, if you're like these Pharisees and the scribes, you're going to take positions and you're going to look at your position in the world and you're going to look down on other people. Why? Because you need your ego fed. Being a child of God is not about your ego. It's about the glory of God. Because anybody looking at me, and seeing me as a child of God, seeing how high God is and how low I am, would never come away going, there must be something about this guy. They'll look at God and they'll say, wow, God sure is merciful. And again, that's not fake humility, that's the truth. That's the truth. You look at where you are. You look at where God is. Anybody seeing the two of you together? Sit there and say, wow, what a great God. What a great God. You've probably failed him 1,000 times in your life if you failed him once. But he loves you. He knew you were going to fail him when he saved you. That's how much he loves you. He knew how you were going to be. You know, we've got 4 kids at our house. And I had a buddy who made fun of me one time for having 4 kids. Well, how do you do it? Don't you know how crazy that's going to be? How much laundry there's going to be? How much this is going to be? How much food there's going to be? And how much... You guys know what I'm talking about probably a little bit better, right? He's working on his 2nd kid, by the way. I don't think he's done yet. Don't you? Yeah, I knew it. You know, I knew before we had kids that if we had kids, we wouldn't be able to have any good furniture for a couple decades, which was fine because we could never afford good furniture, but
You know how you go into some houses and they're like, they've got the full set, right? The couch matches the bookshelf. The bookshelf matches the bookends. The bookends match the lamps, the whole nine yards, right? They go in and they just buy the showroom and they put it back in their house. We don't have that. We have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and that works for us. We love that. We love our house. But we knew. We knew that there weren't going to be no $1,000 couches in our house for at least a couple decades, right? We knew, right? You go through my house. I just painted that house when we moved in. There are fingerprints and dirt smudges. You go to my window, there's dog nose prints at this height. There's another set of nose prints down here. I'm not going to tell you who does those, but we knew. Well, they're going to eat you out of house and home. Oh, I know. They ain't done it yet, but when they hit teenagers, they're all going to hit teenagers within 5 or 6 years of each other. There's going to be a particular point where we're just going to have to move into the Kroger. Just going to see if they got a subscription service or something. We just live there for a while. Listen, we knew. God knew everything you were going to do to break his heart. He sent his son to die on the cross for you anyway. To change who you are. To change how you're living. To make improvements everywhere. To make you better, live better, improve your relationships. To not just be a publican, not just be a sinner, not just be a floor scrubber or just be a somebody who goes out and changes the light bulbs in the street. You know, there's that guy out here, he's been out in front of our yard for the last 2 or 3 days. You know what he does? He sits there, he digs a hole, puts half his body into the hole. Remember when we were doing that for the fence? He's digging deeper holes and bigger holes. He had half his body in there. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that drove by in their fancy cars and their suits and looked at that going, whoo, that's a bad job, buddy. You know what? We ain't got no right to look at each other that way. I'm not just at anything. I'm a child of God. And again, that's not about my ego. That's about praising him. It's not about how I feel about myself. It's how I feel about him. Again, I love that song. It says, when the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. Because I was so far apart from him. So different. The things that I was doing, the lifestyle that I had was so adverse to him. He had to reach all the way down for me. But I love this, that it changed how God sees me. Changed how God sees me. You know what? When I was saved, not much changed in my life as far as who I was. I was a kid. You know, I was a child. And many of you, you may not have experienced a huge overall change because you weren't like Paul. You weren't out murdering Christians. You probably weren't out there robbing banks. You probably weren't out there stealing cars. If you are, don't tell me I like the way I see you. Paula, why are you looking at me like that? No, we weren't like that, right? Or maybe you were. Some have drastic changes. Some have little changes. But I tell you what, the world will still look at you the way it always has. You're just that kid who grew up and used to throw sticks and rocks at the school bus. You're still that adult who used to come out and get drunk with us on Saturday nights. You're still that person that went out and you did this and you did that. They'll remember everything you did wrong. They'll remember you just the way that you are. But you know what I love about how the Lord sees us? He still sees us as the great physician. Still sees us that way. Now, think about Brother Tim right now. Brother Tim, he went from in the surgery part, right? We had to fix a problem. And then he went to the rehab center, right? Where they're over there giving him the weights and all the exercises and different things like that to get him functional again. In many ways, that's us the rest of our Christian lives, with the weights and the training and the exercises and the practices and the getting betters and the, okay, well, I'm still really sore from what I learned yesterday's and all that stuff. But he still comes in. He goes, all right, how are you? Good. Hey, I want to remind you, I love you. I care for you. I'm not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. You know, anybody, you've been to the doctor, you've been to doctors recently. What happens at the doctors? You sit there for hours in the waiting room. you get back to see for exactly 5 minutes, right? You'll spend more time with the nurse or the whatever than you do the actual doctor who will come in and go, yep, you've got a cold. All right, here you go. Here's some prescription, and they walk out the door, right? Our great physician dwells within us, is constantly with us. That's the love he has for you. So I'm sorry, I don't have any fire and brimstone to preach tonight. All I've got for us tonight is how great God is. How he'll come and he'll sit at your table. And he'll put up with you. And he'll adopt you. And what we ought to do is give praise and thanks. Invite the friends over. And be glad that he sits at your table in your house. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so good to us. Lord, I pray that you help us to never forget your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we say that all the time, goodness and mercy. But Father, I pray that we would enumerate to you your goodnesses and enumerate back to you in thanks the mercy and the goodness that you've shown to us. That we would come to you and say, Father, thank you for doing this and thank you for doing that. Because Lord, your blessings are many. Father, unlike the modern day preaching, they don't always come in the form of money and riches and cars and job promotions and great, great neighbors and great, great neighborhoods. Father, your blessings are more spiritual, and we're grateful to have them every day. Father, I pray this, that we never, never be caught as bad in our hospitality towards you. Lord, help us to welcome you into our hearts, welcome you into our lives, welcome you into our houses. And Lord, if the world looks back at us and they call us publicans or sinners, they call us just anything, Lord, help us to remember that you're far good, far more good than that. That, Lord, you've changed us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.